LT, how are you?
You guys are just trying to make me feel better by mispronouncing all the words before you get on. I come in here and I look good. I appreciate that. It's very nice of you. Hey, Stretty, are you the next GM? Everybody else apparently is the next GM of the Oilers. Are you the guy?
I was interview requested. And I said no. I said I'm good. Yeah. I got to look after Gregor. Jeez, who's going to hold him accountable? Talk about holding people accountable. I'm pretty busy over here right now.
Yeah, if you guys went on a trip to Vegas, I don't know who we would want to be in charge.
But I can tell you right now, and even Stretty will admit, when we go out, he knows who is the alt. A, I've never been babysat by Struds. I've had to babysit him a few times. I don't know how many times he magically lost his wallet. One time he lost his suit jacket.
Yeah, I did lose it. But you know what? Everything that starts well, ends well, whatever.
No, that's true. I always get them home. You know what? The best, like sometimes you just like to be, everybody likes when somebody goes out of their way to say, hey, thank you for doing something.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Stradwick usually will send me a text the next day that just says, thank you.
That's nice.
Well, I don't get out much. Like, why don't you come tonight, Low Tide, and help me out? Maybe you can be that voice of reason.
Listen, you know what, though? I will say the last time I heard the word babysit and Jason Strudwick in the same sentence, Taylor Chorney was telling me about a few shifts that he had.
Jeez, have we been writing material all day, Low Tide? Wait, is Jonathan Willis helping you? What's going on?
I'm just saying, I look forward to these, so, you know. Hey,
did you, Wood Guy and Jonathan Willis, all have a luncheon, and you guys are all writing jokes to rip me, or what?
Well, no. This is, the good ones are still to come. You wait till chapter two here, Freddie.
Well, we're into the second round. And because you were a longtime Boston Bruins fan.
Yes.
So obviously now you're a professional, but you still root for the Bruins. So you look at Charlie, like we've talked about Columbus, and they made some great, they went all in. And it's turned out so far that it's worked. It got them a playoff round win, and who knows what happens now. But, man, Charlie Coyle, like, they might regret that trade. Well, I don't think they'll regret it long term if they win. But Charlie Coyle, like, five goals now in eight playoff games for the Bruins. Like, this guy's looking one of the best trade deadline acquisitions so far.
And he has changed their... Like, they've got more scoring depth, they've got more checking depth, they're more physical. I know there's some injury issues or whatever, worries, I guess, but he's really looked good. They look as good as they've looked since was it 2013 they lost to Chicago? I can't remember the year now.
Yes, 2013.
Yeah, they have real depth. I'm just a little worried about the defense. Sometimes it's a little wobbly and old, but they're looking pretty good. I will say this. I think if Columbus wins this series, I picked Boston in seven on the lowdown, but if Columbus wins this series, I wouldn't be shocked because they're loaded. They're really good, too. These are two of the best teams still in the thing, I think.
Yeah, you know what? I think that, not to put words in your mouth, but I think there's some balance between the two teams, like some similarities. You know, they're a mirror. Like, they both have some high-end skill. They both have some depth through the lineup. They both can play physical. Like, they can really play it anywhere you want, but I think you're right. I wonder, like, both these, not that they're bad, but if they have an off night, the other team can really take advantage of them, can't they?
Yeah, they can. And the even a small thing as Columbus having been off for a while, and it took them in the third period, they got a lead, a couple of goals real quick, but they started slow and Boston got a goal and that might have been the difference. I think game two is going to be a killer. I really do, because if Columbus can win game two, then this is going to be seven games and all out war, because this is still a veteran Boston team. Columbus is more on their way up, although they have their veterans, but the Bruins are trying to, with all these fossils still trying to get back there to win it one more time. And I think they've got the eye of the tiger right now. I really do.
Let's flip over to the games that we'll see tonight. And I didn't hear your what you think will happen. So what?
Disappointing, that you weren't listening.
Well, no,
I know you got life and everything. Your wife's trying to track you down, find your wallet. But it'd be nice if you could listen once in a while.
Between her and Gregor, I have really no wallet. But what was your prediction on the Colorado-San Jose series and why?
I predicted the Colorado in seven. I'm saying seven now in every series because I don't know anymore. But the reason I picked Colorado is, they're a one-line team, and they've got a goalie, and I like their young defense, and they're moving the puck. But there's two reasons why I picked Colorado. Number one, I think San Jose was, insanely lucky to get through. And Jones, maybe he's going to be on a heater now, but he was very inconsistent in that series. And the second thing is, and this is like, oh my God, really? But I think Cale Makar is like the, you know, the way he plays, and he's another mobile defenseman. He can move the puck. He impacted like game one. He was doing things. I think Colorado is, McKinnon is playing, he might be the best player in the game right now. I think Colorado wins that in seven because their best players are the best players.
You know, it's funny you bring that up with San Jose and Colorado. And what I actually think the overriding theme for me is just the speed throughout the lineup. Don't you feel that Colorado's a way faster team? And I think San Jose's going to have a tough time with that matchup. Just speed across the board, no one particular player.
Yeah, it's the Pacific Division was, it got, you know, there were years where, remember L.A. when they were winning stuff and they were like, I mean, they'd beat you 1-0 and they'd club you to death and somebody would score and Quick would stop everything. And they were big and physical, and you, if you got out of the series, you had nothing left. Well, that's sort of the way the Pacific Division was. San Jose had more skill than anybody, but they're not a fast train, and now they're an old train. So that's a good point, too. Colorado, I think they've got... The reason why I think Colorado surprised me in the first round is I didn't watch them enough, and I didn't realize how mobile and how good at passing the puck they are. They've really improved. Remember, a couple of years ago, they had, you know, some ghosts of some former defensemen who you played against, Strutty.
Yeah.
But they moved those out, and these guys are young, and they can move the puck. And look, they're going to make mistakes, but I think they've got enough to get past San Jose.
You know what I think? They will make mistakes, low tide, but I think the mistakes they're going to make are mistakes of maybe not knowing any better. Like, I watched that Cale Makar. That guy was fearless. The way he was handling the puck, walking the blue line, jumping in. I mean, the goalie scored. He's right up on the forwards, looking for a chance to get a pass. Like, he's going for it. You know, and when you have a little bit of tilt going on where you're like, you know what? I'm fearless. I'm just going to go for it. I think that really makes for a dangerous matchup if they can connect on some of those opportunities.
Yeah, and he'll increase offense both ways, and he's young. But he's like this guy. I scouts have been telling me about this guy for however many years, and you sometimes you your eyes glaze over, right? Because you haven't seen the player and you don't know. I mean, we see him at tournaments and stuff. But what I was surprised by was that he didn't, as you say, he doesn't really have any fear. But he was making great decisions even at that level. And the NHL is such a quick league. Usually, you expect some kind of a little bit of stutter anyway, right? But he seems to have none of that.
Al Mitchell, okay, Low Tide, joins us. LT, what did you make of the draft last night? What did you? I haven't even asked Strutty about this yet, so I'll get him. What was your thoughts on the draft last night?
Well, I thought Strutty was advising the Giants. You know, I thought that pick at number six was a Strutty one. Classic. You know, go out and get the quarterback who's not ready. Here's what I thought. I think the quarterbacks were all drafted out of order. I think Arizona's nuts for going number one with a guy who has significant risk from what we know. The pick by the Giants was out of pace, and because of that, other teams like the Washington, I thought had a really good draft. That the Eagles traded up to get a guy I don't think they ever thought they'd get. There were really good players chosen all through the first round, but the quarterbacks they started too soon and they kept going.
Yeah, you know what? It's one of the first times I can say really as a Giants fan that I'm nervous because and Low Tide, you've talked about this a lot on your show, when people think they're smarter than everybody else.
Yeah.
And that is really my concern here, and I hope I'm wrong. I hope they are smarter than everybody else, but generally when that happens, you aren't. And it just, oh, man, I saw that pick come across and I was just like, oh, they can't be serious, right? And it's a scary moment because if they're right, they're right. If they're wrong, it sets the organization back big time.
Yeah, and they pick their guy, and you know, and that's okay because if he turns out, then everybody will forget about it. But I thought Oakland did it right. They drafted a guy maybe out of place a little bit, but he was a rush end, and they needed him. Then they got their running back, and then they got their safety, and then they got good value pretty much throughout their three picks. With the Giants, I think they did fine, except they probably could have drafted the quarterback with their second pick and then really gotten a more impactful player on the defensive side of the ball. It's not, you know, fatal or anything, and the NFC East is sort of, I mean, it's there for anybody, I think. Anybody but Dallas, I hope. But the Giants are, you know, they've got a couple of years here where Eli probably is still going to be quarterback, so this fellow can learn. But it did seem really early, and not just me saying that, but the experts were saying it was way too early.
We're talking all things sports related with Alan Mitchell. He's on the Lowdown Flow Tide every day between 10 and 12. Let's just slip back into the hockey world here quickly with the Islanders series. And this one's a hard one for me because I didn't expect either one of these teams to be in the second round. So is there a wild card player or slash position you think that one team has the advantage over that could probably tip the scale in their favor in this second round matchup?
This is an interesting one to me because I think I really like Trotz as a coach, and I like Eberle as a player, and I like a lot of what the Islanders do. But for me, they're somewhat set up in an old, like they're a little more physical, they're a little more old-fashioned defensively, whereas Carolina is all about moving the puck, getting it up, and they don't have any, you know, as many impact players offensively. But Carolina is, I think the depth of Carolina is going to be a positive for them. I don't know how to call this series because I'll know after two games because Carolina looked so good at times against Washington where the Capitals are a good team, but Carolina was running all over them. They had the puck the whole time. I don't know if they can do that against Trotz and the Islanders because that is such an organized team and they always seem to be in the right spot. But we'll know more after a couple of games. Right now, I would probably still take the Islanders. If I'm the Islanders, I'm a little afraid of Carolina and how mobile they are and how well they move the puck. They're almost like five guys in a row. They move up in unison like they're going to war sort of thing.
Al, I know you've followed baseball, even though part of you died when the Expos left.
Damn right.
Vladdy Guerrero Jr., there's a lot of hype. People are saying, you know, best prospect in baseball. He will make his major league debut tonight, hitting in the fifth spot. What's your thoughts? Will you be watching?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This, to me, is really, really great theater. For me, this will be one of the big events of the year. I got a little emotional when I saw him walking in with his dad's uniform. That was so awesome. But he's, you know, it's rare, like oftentimes you'll have a great player and then his son or brother or whatever will be a lesser player. I don't know how good Vladdy Jr. is going to be. I know how great Vladdy Sr. was. And I'm curious because he's not the same, you know, body type. He has a, you know, fantastic bat, obviously. But I'm just curious. I want to see him, for 100 at bats, just to see his dad was like wiry, you know, like he was a string bean and he could hit a ball off his shoe tops. This young man, from what I've seen, is a totally different player. He gets the job done. I mean, he hits like monumental home runs. But and I also want to see him at third base because he doesn't look like a third baseman to me. So I'll be watching for sure.
Al, have yourself a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Boys, I don't want to read about you on the news tomorrow, so don't stay out too late.
Al, guess what? Connor texted us your phone number and said that you're going to pick us up later. So you're going to be our personal Uber. So we thank you in advance for that offer.
Listen, I am so bad at picking anybody up, I'll never get there.
We'll sing Adele all the way home together.
All right, boys, be good.